Welcome to Kidney Talk, a program of Renal Support Network, a show that streams health, happiness, and hope to the kidney community. You can download all Kidney Talk shows from iTunes and find a variety of resources to help you navigate this illness at rsnhope.org. Please welcome your host, Lori Hartwell, who has lived with kidney disease since the age of two.
We are going to speak today to a fellow warrior, and I'm very excited to hear her story. We're going to talk to Radhishini Shah, who's on incremental peritoneal dialysis and you know, has built her life around it. And I know I'm going to call you Nay, so please tell me the correct pronunciation of your name. So get it right for the record.
Yeah, so it's Radhishini.
Okay, it's a beautiful name. I mean, once I get to say it, I'll love it because I've never heard it before. And I love originality.
Yeah, definitely one of a kind.
So can you tell me a little bit about your journey to kidney disease and why you choose IPD now, which is, for people who don't know, it's called incremental peritoneal dialysis. So tell me a little bit about it.
Pretty much the start of it was being diagnosed with lupus nephritis back when I was 17 years old. I had lupus nephritis, which nobody else in my family, you know, has lupus. But, however, my father and one of his brothers do have kidney failure. So that was kind of like a progressive illness and over time scarring of my kidneys. High blood pressure, things like that, eventually turned into, you know, kidney failure. My creatinine was just kind of getting higher and higher. And the talk of dialysis was kind of in my face.
Did you just like, you're not talking about me, are you?
Yeah.
Is that what exactly. You, I mean, that's what you're, it's like, you're not talking about me.
Exactly. And I would say probably when I was about 20. So for the record, I just turned 30 a couple months ago. I'd say dialysis talk was getting serious probably around like 27, 28. And I try to avoid it as much as I could, if I'm being honest. The thing was, I was feeling fine, but my numbers were really bad. Internally, they can see that, you know, things weren't going well. And so I fortunately had a great home nurse that kind of explained it to me in a way that made sense. He's like, you know, if you keep putting it off for too long, you're not going to have a choice of, you know, what kind of dialysis you're going to want to do. And we're just going to have to put you on something just to, you know, save your life. So I really had to get serious and, like, you know, just face the music. And I had to think about which dialysis, if I have to do, is going to be best for my lifestyle. I just finished a medical assistant program back in July. I do have goals of becoming a nurse practitioner and, you know, advancing in the medical field and things like that. And so I don't want this illness to hold me back. I definitely want to be able to live my life as normal as possible and, you know, still have freedom. And for me, the home dialysis really does give me that. I'm still able to work and, like I said, just live my life and have that freedom. So,
well, and, you know, it's interesting because there's peritoneal dialysis and home hemo. And one term people haven't heard a lot is incremental peritoneal dialysis. And that's kind of fairly newer treatment that's been offered. And so, you know, as you make a choice for what treatment, can you tell the decision of why you chose to do PD instead of hemo?
So really just being able to, going to the center for one, you know, and having to sit there for however long it takes and doing that a few times a week. It's just really hard. Like I said, at the time I was going to school and still working, I was in hotel management. And like I said, I don't want this illness to, you know, hold me back if I can help it. Also, having a fistula was another kind of thing that I was afraid of.
I can
relate.
If
I'm being honest. Yeah. And I didn't really like the idea of having an exit site either, to be honest, you know, but at least it's more discreet, you know, for the most part. So it's just things like that, you know, that I was considering.
Well, I was on I was on PD for 9 years.
Oh, okay.
And it really, I mean, I was on hemo too and home hemo. And, you know, PD is my choice.
Yeah.
Because I can't stay still. I'm not somebody who, you know, people don't realize how hard it is to sit in a chair
mm-hmm.
that long unless, you know, you're ready to go to bed.
Yeah.
Or, and your favorite TV show isn't on all the time. So, so tell us a little bit about IPD.
Yeah. So in my situation, I was actually prescribed when I first started dialysis, 2 treatments a day, 7 days a week. And I had to dwell, I dwell for at least 2 hours. And thankfully, I've been doing so well on it that I've actually been kind of winging down a little bit. Right now I'm down to just 1 treatment a day, only 5 days a week, which my nephrologist says she has never, did it that way before. She's never had a PD patient on less than, 7 days a week. So
basically you were doing 2 exchanges a day
mm-hmm.
and because your numbers were off where they needed to bring some of the different elements down or potassium, get fluid off or whatever. And so normally when you're on peritoneal, you do 4 to 5 exchanges a day and they can be done during the day or overnight mm-hmm. on a cycler, just so
right.
people know the difference. So you're doing twice a day. Mm-hmm. And it's really important for people to know because it really determines on your residual renal function. It determines the prescription. So you're still peeing a lot.
I am. I still have a lot of residual kidney function.
I'm sorry. That's a bad term, pee. But I'm like, you know what? It's exciting yeah. when you just say it. I mean, yeah. it's liquid gold, right?
For sure. Yeah. I'm thankful to still be able to produce urine for sure. So I have that on my side at least.
What was it like, the training and you're choosing the medical field, which makes me think you have a little bit of an edge. Yeah. over people because you have that acumen to be able to want to learn a lot of that. So learning, peritoneal is pretty easy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's like the machine at night, you have to learn a little bit more, but it's all just gravity.
Right, right.
I took PD camping,
I travel and do it. I just was out of the country. I took all my supplies with me. So it's easy. I can, as long as I have a command hook, I can set my bag up and have all my supplies. And, just as long as I can just set up somewhere, I can do my dialysis anywhere.
How is your diet with it? Like, are you limited on anything?
The only thing is that they just really wanted me to stay up on my protein. I've had a hard time with, protein intake. So that's one. Sodium intake for sure is another one. Just being mindful of that, potassium, things like that. I definitely get monthly education on dietary, choices and what's best for people with, this disease. So that helps.
Well, and it's phosphorus. When your phosphorus is high, you don't pay now, but you pay later.
Yeah. That is so true.
Potassium, it wasn't my fault. But when I was 12 years old, they had changed something and my heart actually stopped from a high potassium.
Wow.
And so potassium, you can't play. There's no room for error. And so it's important. How often is your blood monitored?
I get labs drawn every month.
Okay. Yeah, that's a... And you could probably tell if you're kind of not feeling that great, too, probably.
Yeah, there are some, if I'm noticing more, headaches, if it's something with my bowels, think different things, that it's like, okay, maybe something's, not right. Heartburn, yeah.
Well, when you first started, what surprised you the most?
Surprised me? I would say, honestly, how easy it is. How easy of a process it is, I think. I don't know why it was so, like I said, it was something that I was really trying to avoid. I didn't want to, deal with it. I thought it would be a thorn in my side or something, just putting dead in my whole life. But when I first did it, I'm like, okay, I can really still live a normal life. So that was the most shocking, I would say.
And did you feel better?
Yes, I did feel a lot better. A lot of people tell me I was looking better, that my skin was brighter. I was losing weight, had more energy. And my home nurse told me something that, you know, kind of made sense, that I probably have been not feeling so well for so long that I didn't know that I wasn't feeling well.
Right. It's called the frog in the boiling pot syndrome. You don't know you're changing.
Yeah.
And it's a horrible analogy. I just saw the visual and I think I need to come up with another one. So relationships, working, incorporating it, you know, how does that impact your life? I mean, this is the, you know, most patients, they throw them in and you just have to adapt. Do you think it's better starting slower? And I mean, now you're down to one. And how long have you been doing this?
So I've been doing it actually about a year and a couple months, about 14 months now.
And are you on the transplant list?
I am, yes.
Okay, so, you know, maybe you'll get transplanted soon. Who knows?
That's the goal. I've had a couple of people try to get tested as live donors. A lot of people, unfortunately, almost everybody I know is not my blood type, but, you know, with the donor exchange program, they are still willing to go get tested and see if they can swap with somebody else or, you know, whatever they need to do, so...
Well, and it's also, and how has it impacted your relationships? Now, when I was the first child to ever go on PD in California. When that was 70, 81, I don't know, it was a long time ago. So, and I was only 14. I ended up getting transplanted when I was 24. So about 9 of those years I was on PD. So of course I did the whole dating thing and I got so used to the catheter that, you know, I have boyfriends and, yeah, I go, you know, I'd be careful, but I go swimming and take a shower. But I one time remember watching the television and this was these people running around in bikinis.
Yeah.
And I said, where's their catheter? And I mean, it was so weird, but it was like, it wasn't, I'm like, oh, Lori, come on. Like, you know, it just became part of me. And it's a weird thing, but I mean, I was very grateful because I didn't really care for hemodialysis. So I was very grateful to have PD.
Right.
And then of course, transplant is a better treatment option for me. Right. I've been transplanted a total of almost 35 years.
That's great.
With two kidneys, two different kidneys.
Yeah.
You know, what are your thoughts on that? And it does it, you know, I never saw anybody not want to kiss me or anything like that because I had a catheter in my stomach. I don't know about you.
Yeah. Same. And so it's funny that you mentioned that because I met my boyfriend last June, I want to say. And like we really hit it off. And I think that beginning of July is when I met with Fresenius to, I think I met with my nephrologist to schedule the surgery, you know, for my exit site. And I told my parents that I think I'm going to break up with my boyfriend because I'm about to go through these changes. And who wants to be with, you know, somebody who has a tube coming out of their stomach. You know, I just had really negative thoughts about it off top, you know, and I just assumed I didn't want him to like see me like that. And so they were like, you know, you can't just assume that he's like that. You know, he's a great guy. You just got to have that conversation with him, you know, talk to him. And so long story short, it was hard, but I had that talk and it was a big relief because come to find out he still accepted me for who I am. He gave me a lot of support and he's like, you know, I'm not going anywhere. You know, I want to help you through this. You know, it's not going to push me away. And so that was like a really big, like I said, relief off my shoulders to have that support from him. And so, you know, we're still together, you know, we live together. I do my dialysis in front of him almost every day. So that hasn't, you know, been a problem. Fortunately, I'm lucky to have somebody that really does support me in this because I was sure that I was going to scare him off, especially just really have meeting him, you know.
I mean, I look back to, you know, a little bit older now, but I went back to those days, and some people did reject me because of it. And I look back and I say, thank goodness kidney disease kept the jerks away from me. I wasn't aware. I wasn't wise enough to know time, because, you know, one of the issues too is you want the people who never want you in their, what is it? You don't want to be, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, you're worried you're going to be rejected, so you make sure you're rejected by not picking anybody who's available.
Yeah.
And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So looking back, I'm like, and I've been married now to, you know, for 27 years to a man who gives me an anniversary card every month since we've been married.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, and it's like you never can put your guilt or what you're feeling on other people, because it's, you know, we all have something.
Yes.
And it can bring you much closer together. And it's for better or for worse. And you better know that now, because I know a lot of people who get married and then they get kidney disease later on in life. And they're getting a divorce because, you know, they never had any problems. And
yeah,
I think we worked that out ahead of time.
Right. Yeah. That's a major plus.
So what would you say, you know, some of people that are on in-center, you know, a lot of people I talk to feel a little afraid, like, I can't do dialysis at home. I wouldn't want the responsibility. Granted, you're only doing a treatment once or twice a day. So, but I mean, I know you can imagine if you had, you have to increase it if your doctor says to, because, you know, or you'll be back to square one where you're getting sick again and will lose your choices.
Right. For people that do in-center, I mean, for one, I think it's, I give them kudos for, you know, going through that, you know, because from what I'm, so my father, like I said, has kidney failure. My father's also on his second kidney transplant. He's had kidney failure since he was 16. So another big support I have is my dad in going through this. He's kind of like you, been through it all, been through all the different dialysis. And so I've seen how, you know, draining it could be, the time it takes. And yeah, I think it takes a, you know, strong person to, you know, commit to that, type of, you know, dialysis. And, you know, like I said, when choosing the type of dialysis I would do, I just, you know, it just really did not work for my lifestyle.
Well, and it's, you know, for me, is like, if in-center is not working for you, you could go to another treatment and then you could go back.
Yeah.
You know, nobody says you have to stay. And so I always say, you know, sometimes it, I liked it because I could be control of my treatment, but I also liked it because, you know, when it's flu season or something, I didn't have to be around people and, you know, could protect my health a little more waiting for a transplant, too. So it's been really wonderful speaking with you, but I wanted to kind of wrap up with a couple of things. What, number one, what are you most excited for besides getting a transplant? I know that. I mean, when you get the call. But
yeah,
what do you do to just, you know, what do you do for fun and to cope with stress? I mean, we have to find coping skills with this illness, because it will make you, it will bring you to your knees at times.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I had a really hard time just accepting the fact of having to do dialysis. And it's, something that I, you know, still even struggle to, like, kind of open up about. That's why I'm glad my home nurse, you know, kind of encouraged me to do this, because I realized how important it is to, like, to get the word out there, you know, for other people about, you know, awareness of kidney failure and how many people struggle with it. And, how many people have to find coping mechanisms. For me, it just took me, like, starting it and realizing that I could still live my life. So just, you know, school was a big motivation, finishing school, getting a job in the field, and, you know, just striving to, like, you know, be better. That's how I call, you know, just conquering the illness. You know, I don't let it conquer me. You know, I do all the things that I set out to do. I still travel. Travel is my passion. And that was another big concern in starting dialysis. You know, I'm like, I'm not going to be able to go anywhere, you know. So just still being able to travel and continue on with that, you know, really helps me cope with things and live my life how I want.
You know, I've learned after 57 years with this illness, you have to have something to look forward to.
Yeah, for sure.
You have to, and you have to create it.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, I'm going to go on a trip in 2 weeks, or I'm going to make this recipe tomorrow, yes. Or I'm going to, you know, you have to create those things to look forward to. And then one other thing I've learned is that you have to look for things that you look forward to when you don't feel well. Yeah. And what I did, I like to bead and make jewelry and, you know, stuff that doesn't, when I don't feel well, I can still look forward to it. And, right. You know, yeah. Because when you don't feel well, one of the things I've learned is one of the reasons, instead of not being able, I feel like I'm losing control. So, you know, but I can control where the beads go. Right. And that makes my brain rest, or my committee. I don't know if you have that little committee in your head that is, you know, and so it's, you know, you have to find every little coping skill, from turning off the TV and turning music on, for going for a walk.
Yeah.
It's the little things.
It really is. Yeah, it really is. And being thankful for them, being thankful, you know, to enjoy them.
Right. You go for Thanksgiving dinner and, you know, everything's salty. And you're like, well, I learn sometimes I bring a dish I can make, mm-hmm. that I can eat.
Yeah.
And be grateful that I have something to eat.
Yeah.
You know, because there's not a lot of room for error, and we pay a price for it. So it's been an absolute pleasure to speaking with you. I hope the next time we talk, you tell me you got a transplant.
Yes.
And, you know, because, I feel it's the best treatment. Some other patients don't feel that way, but I feel it's the best treatment. But very grateful for PD. And sounds like you have a wonderful home hemo nurse at Fresenius. So, you know, tell her, keep up the good work and train all the other nurses to be just like her. It makes all the, I had both of my home nurses were at my wedding. I mean, that's how close you become to your home. I mean, they become like family because you tell them the most personal things. And they really make a difference.
Yes.
So it's, they don't even realize the difference they make. That's so, well, wonderful to speak to you. And thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you so much, Lori.
Thanks for listening to Kidney Talk, a program of Renal Support Network. Please make sure to find us on Facebook or sign up for our newsletter at rsnhope.org. Kidney Talk is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment from your physician. Always seek the advice of your own healthcare provider regarding your medical condition.